City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. I'm Will Batchelor, and this is a new show called Take Five, the show which invites you to imagine your house is on fire, but in a nice way. Why nice? Well, because you've got your family and your pets out safely, and you've still got time to take five, by which I mean you can rescue five of your favourite things. That's a handful of records, your favourite book, your favourite film or TV series, one treasured photograph, and an object which means something to you, something special to you. Now, today's guest is a Waterloo girl who went on to live in Britain's most famous house for more than 10 years. The address? 10 Downing Street. Cherie Booth, QC, human rights barrister and wife of the former Prime Minister Tony Blair. Welcome to the show.
I'm delighted to be here.
It's nice to have you. Now, before I go anywhere, I always get confused with your name, Cherie. Is it Cherie or Cherry or Cherie?
Cherie, you're doing very well. It's Cherie.
OK, and where do we go on surnames, Blair or Booth?
Oh, you can call me whatever you like.
OK, shall we switch between the two?
Oh, you can. I do all the time.
We'll flip between the two. Now, Cherie, I don't wish to alarm you, but
no. Your
house is on fire. OK, so don't worry. Your kids and everyone's out. The fire brigade are en route, and apparently you've got no moat to impede their progress. However, you do have time to take five. That's five records, plus your favourite book, film, photo and a special object. Now, I know your book, Speaking for Myself, is now out in paperback, and we're going to talk about that, but I'm officially banning you from saving that as your one book.
Don't worry.
Is that okay? Yeah. That's for no other reason than the fact that your critics would have a field day if you were to choose that as your one book. Because you were, I think it's fair to say, you're a media whipping post for a long time. Has that relaxed now? Do you feel more happy and relaxed during media interviews?
Well, I think that the reason I called the book Speaking for Myself was because now I feel that I am able, at least, to speak for myself, and people can then judge for themselves.
And do you feel that people have judged you favourably over the last year since the book came out in hardback?
I don't really know. What I do know is that when I used to go around when I was in number 10, people would always say to me two things. One was, you're much better looking in the flesh than you are in your photographs, thank God. And the other thing was that I wasn't what they expected.
Well, we'll find out a bit more about photographs later, because that's one of the things you are going to have to choose. However, the first song you've chosen is Proud by Heather Small. Tell us why you've chosen that.
Well, I wouldn't say this was necessarily my favourite record, but it certainly brings back a lot of memories, because Proud and Heather Small, who I've met, in fact, was played a lot during the election campaign, and particularly for the first term of the Labour government between 1997 and 2001. And I think it's a good motto. It, what have you done today to make me feel proud? It was the sort of thing my grandma would have said to me. And the sort of things, heaven forgive me, that I sometimes say to my children.
Really? It's something you might have written above your mirror as well, isn't it, in the bathroom?
Well, I think so. And I can remember looking at my husband and thinking, too, that actually he's done a lot to make me feel proud.
Still does?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. And we've still got this rather difficult job, you know, the Middle East envoy.
Absolutely. And we'll find out more about that later. First, though, is City Talk 105.9, the home of great conversation and great music. Here's the first record that Cherie Booth or Blair would grab from her burning house. It's Proud by Heather Small. This is City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. And for this hour, both the music and conversation comes courtesy of Cherie Blair or Booth. Why? Because this is Take Five, the show which invites you to imagine the five records you would save as you flee your burning house, as well as your favourite book, film, photograph and object. Cherie is in the hot seat, pun very much intended, I'm afraid, and you've just heard her first choice. That was Proud by Heather Small. One of the things you can grab is a DVD. We're allowing people to have their favourite film or TV series. Cherie, what have you gone for as the one film you would rescue from the inferno?
Oh, this is very sad, but this was a film that I watched constantly when I was a child, in which I watch and still watch sometimes with my children, and that's The Sound of Music. It's a great family entertainment.
Do you know, to my shame, I kind of know what it's about.
What, but you've never watched
I've never watched it. It's about nuns,
shame,
isn't it?
Shame, shame on you, yeah. No, well, it is. Funny enough, when I was young, I used to know all the words off by heart, and I'd often sing it with my older children when they were younger. I even had my own Julie Andrews moment when we were on holiday in France once.
Yeah, we've seen a couple of your Julie Andrews moments before, thank you. We may talk about that later. So which was the song that you would go for?
Well, there was a huge storm going on, so to calm the children, I got us all to sing My Favourite Things, you know, which she does, of course, during the storm.
Yeah, that's the one, Puppy Dogs, Tails, is it, and things like that. How does it go?
Raindrops on roses and roses and whiskers on kittens. You don't want me to sing the rest, do you?
Well, you can give me the verse, yeah.
All right. Well, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with string. These are a few of my favourite things.
And does that work? Does that calm people's nerves in a rainstorm?
Well, I think my children were there so embarrassed in case all the neighbours heard us that they shut up.
It's because you were taught by nuns as well back in Waterloo, weren't you?
Very much so. In Seafield Grammar School, which was not all the teachers were nuns, but it was convent school run by the nuns.
I know a lot of people who were taught by nuns will look back and kind of criticise the education they had, but to you it was very special, and I know you've named one nun in particular in the past who was your mentor, I suppose, in the early days.
Well, I think that at the time, I think as a schoolgirl, of course, you never really appreciate what you're getting. But looking back on it, you know, all the nuns and the school as a whole were really determined that as girls we should do our best and achieve what we could possibly achieve. And looking back, not just for me, but for so many other girls I know, they did a fantastic job.
What was the young Cherie Booth like at school? Were you bookish? Were you one of the cool gang? How would you have classed yourself as a teenager?
Well, I was pretty skinny, with long hair and slightly rebellious, but not too rebellious. But I did get the largest number of late marks for missing assembly in my sixth form.
So a rebellious streak then?
A slightly rebellious streak.
Did you socialise around Waterloo and Liverpool City Centre? Is anywhere left where you went?
Well, we certainly did socialise. And we used to do the boys' school over the road, St Mary's. One of the ways we were allowed to socialise with the boys was if we joined the Young Christian Students, which I did.
Mm.
And one of the things we did, we would do a lot of fundraising for, we had a 24-hour fast, which we actually did in the centre of Liverpool, fasting to raise money for Africa, and which was very exciting, especially since we all got to sleep overnight in the Liverpool Student Union cafeteria, which
and look incredibly
17-year-old boys and girls.
Well, I was going to say, and look incredibly benevolent. Yeah,
wasn't entirely spotless.
Well, there you go. That's people have long mixed charity and self-interest, and certain pop stars still do, apparently. So you were too young, I guess, for Beatlemania and the Cavern scene.
Oh, no, not really. My I was about 10 when the Beatles were at their height, and I was very keen on Paul McCartney. And years later, I got to meet Paul, and I told him that when I was 10, I slept with your picture under my pillow. But Tony was very quick to tell him she doesn't do it now.
And how did Macca react to that?
Macca reacted with his usual charm.
And of course, you are a big fan of the Beatles. We know that, as you ably demonstrated in Beijing in 2003. You led some Chinese students in another sing-along. There wasn't a rainstorm at the time, I don't think, although there may have been afterwards for When I'm 64. And that is the song you've chosen as your next record to grab. Was it with that episode in mind that you chose this record?
It was partly because you couldn't grow up in Liverpool in the 60s without being very conscious of the Beatles and very proud to come from the same city. And because, of course, also I did get a bit of notoriety by having to sing that song for the Chinese students, and then to discover later on that apparently it hit the dance floors of Ibiza in some sort of mix record.
Oh, no, I've never heard that.
Apparently I topped the charts for a week in Ibiza, but my daughter said that if I ever sang in public again, she would divorce me.
Okay, well, I tell you what, let's not play your version. Let's hear how it should be done, with respect. First, though, this is City Talk 105.9. Great music and great conversation. Here's the Beatles. That, of course, was the Beatles and When I'm 64 on City Talk 105.9. Great music and great conversation. That track was chosen exclusively by Cherie Blair for this show, which is called Take Five, with me, Will Batchelor. Congratulations, by the way, Cherie, for not choosing Paperback Writer in a shameless bid to plug the fact that your book, Speaking for Myself, is now out in paperback. I'll do that for you then.
That's
less
so
bad.
Kind.
No problem at all. And we're going to find out in a couple of minutes which book you would pluck from the flames of your imaginary burning house, plus some more of your hand-picked tunes. Stay tuned. First, though, this is City Talk 105.9. Great music and great conversation. This is Take Five, a new show with me, Will Batchelor. Every day I'm joined by a guest to tell me which five records they would save from their burning home, as well as their favourite book, film, photograph, and, of course, object. Speaking of books, Cherie Blair, my guest for today, tell me which one would you pluck from the flames?
Well, I'm one of these obsessive readers, so I love reading. I read so much. I couldn't possibly choose one book, but I thought then I'd do say something about a particular book, which is by John Grisham.
Hmm.
Because I read lots of books, and people might not think that I'm a John Grisham fan, but I love reading all these books about lawyers and trials and all those sorts of things.
That does surprise me, if I may say, because John Grisham, he's kind of a populist writer, isn't he? Some might unfairly, I think, call it pulp fiction, but certainly airport reading. And
yeah,
I've always...
Sometimes pulp fiction and airport reading is just what you want after a long day reading the law reports.
But does he get it right?
Book,
does he get it right with
it's
lawyers?
It's an American law book, but this book actually was his attempt at non-fiction, and he actually wrote up the story of a big miscarriage of justice, of a man who ended up... Well, two men who ended up on death row, wrongly accused of murder. And it was an indictment, really, written in a very accessible form just recently by a writer of, as you say, mainly lighter fiction. But it showed the difficulties of the death penalty and why it's, in my view, so right that we don't have it in our country or all over Europe. And indeed, of course... there was a time when George Bush came over to stay at Chequers with us, and the dinner time conversation went to the whole question of the death penalty. Mm. And we had a very interesting discussion with my children also expressing their views on this subject, and George Bush taking it very much in good part. Not that he agreed with us, of course.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, that would have been a fairly formidable argument, because you're a QC, you specialise in human rights law. Did you give it him with both barrels, or was there a certain amount of etiquette to follow?
No, I think by this time, George and I knew each other very well, and he knew my views, and he has his own views, but always with good humour and always, I think, learning something from each other.
Was he treated unfairly, do you think, by perhaps the liberal press in Britain, who loved to portray him as a sort of a knuckle-dragging, right-wing American Deep South politician?
Well, I think that sometimes the impression that might have been given that George was not intelligent is a completely wrong impression. He's... absolutely very intelligent. You know, he went to Yale, and he knows what he believes in. But he used to always say to Tony, when sometimes they were going to do joint press conferences, he'd say, "Tony, that's great. You go out there and explain it in English, and then I'll just give it to them in Texan."
I suppose what I was surprised about is you're known for your feminist views as well. Do you still call yourself a feminist, by the way, or has that become
absolutely. And I think that one of the passions... I was brought up by two very strong women, my mother and my grandmother, both of whom left school at 14, and both of whom didn't have the sort of opportunities that I was lucky enough to have, and were always determined that my sister and I would get the best chance at life through education, and as far as they could make that possible. And one of the themes of the book actually is all about how a girl from working class Liverpool was able, because of good education and luck, to get to number 10 Downing Street, but also about the fact that when I was there I met many, many women who hadn't had those opportunities, and why I still feel very passionately that there's a long way to go before we actually get proper equality for men and women.
I wonder sometimes if the march of feminism has taken a few steps backwards in recent years. I mean, people say now that Jordan, one of the authors you'll be rivaling in the paperback stakes, I guess, is a feminist icon. How do you feel about that? Is it really empowering to women to become glamour models?
I think that we really have to recognise that around the world it is still a disadvantage to be born a girl. And in some countries in the world now, you know, some baby girls don't get born simply because they're girls. Two-thirds of the children across the world who are not educated are girls. Too many young girls aged 10, 11, 12 get put into marriages with older men and forced into early childbirth. And then, of course, at the end of life, widows are often discriminated against. And to me, feminism is making sure that women get the same opportunities so that they can be treated as of equal value for men, of equal worth for men, and so that they don't have to be seen as a burden on their families or their husbands or at the end of their lives
So do we focus, I mean, the question I asked there, I guess, focused on the UK. Do we do that too much? Are you saying really we should be looking around the globe to bring all women up to a certain standard before we start worrying about glamour magazines and that kind of thing?
Well, I think even in our country, we still haven't reached a situation where women are fully equal with men. We still have problems over equal pay and the glass ceiling or the sticky floor. But then compared with what's happening for some women across the world, of course, we are very lucky. And I don't think we should forget that. But I also think that we need to focus on the bigger picture.
Well, I think your next record could be classed as a feminist anthem. It's the
Absolutely.
Eurythmics and Aretha Franklin. Sisters are doing it for themselves. Is that why you've chosen it, or is it just a banging tune?
And it's a, well, it's a damn good tune, and I thought it was Annie Lennox, yeah?
Either way, one way or the other, it's the Eurythmics with Aretha Franklin. And I tell
Absolutely.
You what, is City Talk 105.9, the home of great conversation and great music. So that was Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves, handpicked by Cherie Blair, my guest today on Take 5, the radio show where each day one person chooses the five records they would save from their burning home, as well as a number of objects, their favourite book, film, special item, and of course family photograph. I'm going to ask Cherie Blair for a second for her favourite family photograph, if you like, if you can choose one that she would save from the flames. But just before we move off feminism there, as we were hearing a feminist anthem, Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves, how do you feel about the role of female politicians now, Cherie, in British politics? Do you look back on 1997 and that famous Blair's Babes photograph as slightly patronising now?
Well, and whether it was meant to be patronising or not, I think the truth is that 1997 was the first time we had more than 100 women in Parliament. In 1979, there were more men in Parliament called John than there were women members of Parliament. And suddenly in 97, we saw this influx of great women MPs, which actually I think made a difference, not just to the way Parliament looked, but the sort of things that they talked about, including the things we've been talking about, equal pay, maternity rights, domestic violence, education, the health service, all the things that women are deeply concerned about and where their voices need to be heard.
Let's talk about photographs, namely family photographs, because in this show, Take 5, you do get to save one family photograph at least from the flames as you dash from the inferno. It's a very jolly way to look at house fires, but I think we know what I'm talking about here. I guess everyone has a lot of family photos. Yours have more than others, some of them taken with your permission, some not. Which one have you chosen as the one that you would save, Cherie?
Well, you're right when you say we've got the huge number of family photographs. And I actually rather cheated and chose two that are connected. One was the 1997 election, when there's a picture of Tony and I walking across the field from our house in the constituency to vote in the polling booth with our then three children walking with us. And we were very keen for them to be able to see the voting being cast and to understand the significance of all that. And the other is in 2005, when outside our same constituency house, the family, this time with Leo as well, were all gathered, and my mum, to see Ewan and Nicholas, my elder two boys, actually go and vote for their father for the first time in 2005, because by this time they were old enough to do so. And my daughter Catherine being furious because she couldn't vote, and we all knew because Tony had said, though he would fight a third election, he wasn't going to fight a fourth, that she would therefore never get the opportunity to vote for him.
Never get the chance to vote for her own dad. Yeah, and he missed out on a guaranteed vote as well. So tragedy on both sides.
Well, I think he had a few more than just the six.
Yeah, I think he did. I tell you what, that you've just made me feel very old, or I guess realise how quickly time flies. Because when I think of your older boys in particular, in my mind, I probably do see that picture from 97 or maybe 01 when they're kind of skinny youths. And I guess they must have grown into fully fledged men now.
They certainly are. My eldest son is 25 and Nicholas is 23.
It makes me feel old. Does it make you feel old?
Sometimes it makes me feel old, but most of the time it just makes me feel proud.
In a couple of minutes' time, Cherie Blair will reveal her fourth and fifth records that she saved from her burning home. Plus, she'll be revealing which precious item she'll be rescuing from the inferno as well. It's City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. This is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, the show in which I grill a famous or indeed non-famous person on each day of the week to find out what they would rescue in the unlikely and hopefully the event that will never happen, event of a house fire. I'm joined today by Sherry Blair, the Waterloo girl, if I can call you that, Cherie, who
you
turned into the
can.
Woman, thank you, who went to live in 10 Downing Street for 10 years, of course, between 1997 and 2007. Cherie, your next song you've chosen is Ave Maria. Now, there's a few versions of this. I think Charlotte Church may have done one. Which one have you gone for and why?
Well, first of all, I chose Ave Maria generally because, after all, I'm a good Catholic girl.
Of course.
I'm brought up by the nuns, and I used to be in the school choir, and this is a particularly special song. And when I was pregnant, in fact, giving birth to Leo, this was one of the things I was playing on my iPod at the time to help me through that particular experience.
Wow, did it work?
Well, of course. And the other thing, of course, is I chose it by a singer called Renee Fleming, who is an American soprano who has a fantastic voice and who I was lucky enough to first meet when she sang when we came to the White House. And since that time, we've become friends, and I see her when she comes over to London to perform, and she has got the most fabulous voice.
You are a good Catholic girl, as you say. Tony converted to Catholicism as well. He's received some sort of coverage for that. Do you think that was fair? What sort of extent do you think we have a right to know about someone's religion and the choices they make in religion if they have a public platform like Tony does?
Well, I think, as Tony has said at the time, when he was Prime Minister, Alistair famously said he didn't do God. And as a country, we tend not to like our politicians to talk about their religious beliefs. But one of the things I think that brought Tony and I together from the very beginning was partly our belief in left of centre politics and also our mutual interest in God and religion.
And do you think that was doable? I mean, does that sit well in your conscience that you can divorce God from the running of public life, even though you yourself are a deeply religious person?
I don't think you can ever, if you're a religious person, that's just part of the way you live and what you are. But I'm a firm believer of making sure that we live in a secular state, not a religious one, where all people of all faiths and none can come together in the public arena. But they all bring, of course, all the things that make them what they are, and for many people that is indeed religion.
City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation, and I'm in conversation with Cherie Blair, and she's chosen Ave Maria as her next song. It's by Renee Fleming. This is the station for great music and great conversation for Liverpool and beyond. Joined in conversation for this hour by Cherie Blair. She chose Ave Maria, as well as Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves, When I'm 64 by the Beatles, a couple of others, and still one song to come, which surprisingly is by Shania Twain. We'll find out more about that in a short while. Before we do that, the last thing that you get to grab, Cherie, from the house as you dash out. Don't worry, your family are safe, everyone's safe, the pets are out as well. But the last thing you get to dash, as well as the records, your book, your film, your one family photograph, is kind of a prized possession, just one thing that you'd grab for sentimental reasons, I guess, more than anything else. What would you go for?
Well, ever since you and my first son was born, my mother has put together lovingly an album for each child, which has taken them right from birth all the way through and still continues. And it's not just a wonderful thing to keep, but it also reminds me a lot of my mother, because she always puts little captions on each of the pictures. So she chooses the pictures and she puts the captions on. And my mother's a very special woman and very important in my life. So not only would it be my children that I was taking with me, but it would be her too.
And of course, if you take those albums with you, I'm just thinking about the way technology has changed over the years. It must be for the older boys in particular. There was a few photos with a few captions. And nowadays, the way technology is, it seems that not just for the children of people with a public platform like yourself, but everyone's every movement is documented, isn't it, on digital cameras?
The only thing is my mum always complains about that, because these days we do take a lot of our pictures and we have them on the digital camera. But of course, like everybody else, you take the pictures and you hardly ever look at them. So mum always insists that we have a look, and then we print out a few, and then she does put them in the album. And I can tell you, we actually look more at the albums than we do on the through the hundreds, thousands that we've got on my hard disk.
I worry that the nature of photographs is changing, really, isn't it? Because I was born in 1976, and I think there's one picture of me as a baby, probably taken by a doting grandmother. But these are in the days when, do you remember, you used to have film in cameras, and not just that, but even the flash. You used to have 10 pops on the flash, didn't you, before you'd throw it away. It seems unbelievable now that, you can take 1,000 pictures just on a mobile phone. Are you a technophobe, Cherie, or do you embrace technology?
Oh, no, I'm definitely a techie. In fact, from a very early time, I couldn't have done my legal practice, and particularly when we were in number 10, without actually being able to work from home. And that meant being very familiar with using the internet, using the chamber's intranet, and using emails and everything else to keep in touch.
Does it frustrate you when you hear people of the same age, or perhaps older than you, or perhaps even younger than you, saying, oh, I don't do technology, I can't understand it? As someone who has embraced it, do you find that worrying, that we have this mindset, particularly perhaps in this country, where we won't move on to the next step?
Well, once upon a time, that was my husband, Tony, because whilst he was Prime Minister, I mean, he didn't need to actually really know about technology. And though he had a computer on his desk, he very rarely turned it on. And of course, when he stopped being Prime Minister and we came out of number 10, he suddenly found himself needing to learn a lot more about things like emails and BlackBerries. And I made a big mistake because I actually taught him how to use it. And now the kids say that was a fatal thing to do, because he spends all his time now on his BlackBerry.
Well, they call them crackberries, don't they?
They do. We do at home too.
Are you both addicted to BlackBerries, or is it just Tony?
I think I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment on that one.
Okay, well, we shall. I guess we'll find out. I'll drop you an email afterwards and see what you reply.
Oh, I'll definitely reply.
And we'll find out. Your last song that you've chosen is the five that you would grab, Cherie, from your house, if indeed it was burning down, is Shania Twain, which, here's an artist, I guess, who comes in for a lot of stick, I think. And the song you've chosen is You're Still the One. Where does this come from?
Well, I think I also was conscious that I've chosen quite a lot of old records, and I wanted to go for someone who was a bit more up to date. And funnily enough, Shania Twain was often, and this record it was often played in the Magic Radio that I would listen to in the car when we were in Downing Street. And I think it's a great song, and it kind of applies to Tony and me.
Did Tony ever dispute you? Because it is, if you don't mind me saying, it's sort of ladies' music, girls'
it is,
music.
Isn't it? No, he would never choose any of these records. He's got a much more rock type of pleasure in his music, and so would my boys. I mean, my boys will be cringing with horror at these songs.
Do you fall out over that? If you travel in the same car, do you, like most couples, do you fall out over what music gets played, or do you get your way, or does Tony get his way and put on an Old Ugly Rumours tape or something?
The Old Ugly Rumours tapes, I think, are definitely only for very private listening.
Yeah. And what about, I'm just thinking, because you'll presumably have special branch officers, do you ever give them a chance to play their music, or is it just you who gets to choose in the car?
Well, I think there's a difference about when I'm in the car on my own, and I don't have special branch officers anymore, but when I did, we used to play, as I say, we used to play the radio, and quite often not only would I be singing along, but the special branch officers would too. But with Tony, because of course when he was in the car, he was always taking phone calls and everything else. He didn't actually have the radio on, so no music is played.
Please tell me the special branch officers occasionally sang along to You're Still the One by Shania Twain.
I'm not going to reveal that.
Well, I'll tell you what. if there's any listening now, then turn up the radio, boys, and loosen your ties for once and sing along now. Because on City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation, and this is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, a new show in which I, each day, grill a different person on which items they would save from their burning house. You got five records, you got a book, you got a film, you got a photograph, and a special object. We're nearly at the end of our voyage now. I suppose we are at the end, because we found out all five of Cherie Blair's records. We found out that her favourite book, or the book that she would rescue in this instance, is by John Grisham, The Innocent Man. The film would be The Sound of Music. The famous family photograph of them in 1997 at the election would be the one photograph. And then for her special item, she's cheated a little bit, but we're going to let her off. She's taken some more family albums as well, compiled by her mother. Cherie, you've got the book out at the moment. Just how have you felt in the last year, how your life has gone? Were you tempted to even add an extra chapter to the paperback edition of the book?
Well, I think that it's too soon to add that extra chapter, because it's still very much work in progress. But maybe one day I will. It's been, for me, writing the book when I came out in 2007, because it came out in 2008 in hardback, it was a great opportunity to look back, not just over the 10 years at Downing Street, but actually a 50-year journey from a girl from Waterloo, Liverpool, to 10 Downing Street, and which I think wasn't just a unique story, because so many women of my age suddenly had the opportunities which their mother and grandmothers didn't have. And, you know, we've still got a way to go, but there's no doubt at all that a lot of progress has been made.
Do you think that you could copy the example of some of the other famous autobiographers that we see around who bring out one autobiography when they're 21, one when they're 24, one when they're 27? Will we be seeing any future books from you? Because you've still got... you've got a lot of work to do. You're nowhere near bus pass age yet. There may be a few more chapters left in the life of Cherie Blair.
I don't know. The most terrifying thing for me is to think that at 60, when I would qualify for a bus pass, Leo would still be only 15 and therefore still qualifying for his school child pass, which is a bit of a frightening
thought.
Well,
you could ride the bus together. Don't sit with him, though, because at 15, I don't think he'll want that.
He doesn't. He won't want his mum sitting next to him. No, that's for sure.
So will we see any... what will we see from you in the future? Can you map out the next couple of years for us? What are you going to do? More law work? More writing work? More speaking?
Well, I'm certainly doing... carrying on with my legal practice. I've also... I'm just about to have a programme. I did the Street Weapons Commission last year for Channel 4, and we're doing a follow-up programme for that, which comes out in July. And that's been really interesting, and I've enjoyed... doing that. And then I've got my Foundation for Women, which is about helping women in the developing world gain their economic independence, because the one thing I feel very strongly myself is that the ability to actually have economic independence, which the good education gave me, is one of the reasons why women in our country are so much better off than women in many other parts of the world.
Cherie Blair, Cherie Booth, or whatever else you want me to call you, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for being a guest on Take 5 on City Talk 105.9.
Thank you.